let's take a look at some of the great ones. The first one that pops up here is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. This was the first one. These are actually, they're not ranked, but I believe they were done in chronological order. So Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was made in 1964, and it seemed to be the first of the big ones. It's the granddaddy of them all. It builds an elaborate narrative out of Johnny Marks' venerable carol about the lonely but heroic nonconformist reindeer. This Rankin-Bass special has it all, from Burl Ives as the snowman narrator to the island of misfit toys to Hermy, the elf who longs to be a dentist and who saves the day by performing a dental extraction on the abominable snowman. It was a monster. I loved that when I was a kid. Now, did you watch these, Dan, when you were a kid?
Yeah, you know, right around this time of year, it was always on around 7 o'clock, and I always remember, you know, homework would be wrapping up, we'd have dinner, and we'd be watching, you know, TV right beforehand instead of whatever was normally on, they'd come on, and it was so exciting.
You know, there's a big difference now than when I was a kid. So this special was actually created the year before I was born. So it was relatively, you know, when I was a little kid, it was only about, you know, when I was like five, it was only like 6 years old. So they were kind of, they were still sort of new, and they were making them as they go along. So I was born right in the wheelhouse of this stuff. I mean, these Rankin-Bass specials and these yearly Christmas specials were big deals when I was a kid. But there's a difference now, because they're all available on DVD. They're all available on Blu-ray. They get shown 800 times.
And to your point, you know, one of the things was every day was a surprise as to which one was coming on.
Yeah.
You know, now we have a guide that shows you, okay, well, you know, this will be on this day.
Right.
You know, but back then, you know, unless you checked the newspaper, you wouldn't know. And it'd be a surprise, and you'd be, you know, thrilled, like, oh, today's Frosty.
Right. And, but, you know, like I said, most of these are available on Blu-ray or DVD. You can pop them in anytime you want. You know, you can watch them in July. Excuse me. I had to sneeze. I turned off my mic.
Bless you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But yeah, you know, because it was a, you know, it was the, it, this was your only chance to see it in a year. You know, I mean, if you missed Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer when I was a kid, if I missed Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, I didn't get to see it for another year. So it made it all the more special when I was a kid to watch these things, because it was only a one time a year thing.
And the way that those were animated, it just, I mean, can't you just see it in your mind?
Oh, yeah.
You know, just the scary characters were so scary.
Yeah. Yeah, they were great. They were great. And they're still, I mean, these are still popular. They're timeless. I mean, this thing was made, you know, 50 years ago. It celebrates the 50th anniversary of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer this year. And it's still very entertaining. It's still awesome. And it still holds up. All right, from 1965, A Charlie Brown Christmas. Wait, we got some audio from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, don't we? Let's listen to a little bit of Rudolph.
Halt! Who goes there?
Us, of course. Who'd you think?
Oh, well, then that's okay. Okay, who, may I ask, are you?
We're Rudolph and Hermie and Yukon Cornelius, sir. Who are you?
I'm the official sentry of the Island of Misfit Toys.
A Jack in the Box or a sentry?
Yes, my name is...
Don't tell me. Jack.
No, Charlie. That's why I'm a misfit toy. My name is all wrong. No child wants to play with a Charlie in the box. So I had to come here.
Where's here?
Classic. 312-981-7200. Send your texts or call us to that number. What are your favorite Christmas TV specials of all time? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer from 1964. Charlie Brown Christmas from 65. I always found the Charlie Brown Christmas to be really depressing. Like the, you know, the trees depressing. And I don't know. I always thought it was really sort of dark. I felt that way a lot about a lot of the Peanuts specials. But this was the first ever Peanuts special. It was a surprisingly muted tale of Charles Schulz's neurotic kid hero and his pathetic little tree. It introduced the immortal Vince Guaraldi lounge music score, the jazz score that came associated with Peanuts gang forever. Also, it's one of the few Christmas specials that actually makes a point of remembering that the holiday is all about the birth of Jesus, not just secular and commercial avatars that come to dominate the season. So we got a little audio from...
Gee, do they still make wooden Christmas trees?
This little green one here seems to need a home.
I don't know, Charlie Brown. Remember what Lucy said? This doesn't seem to fit the modern spirit.
I don't care. We'll decorate it, and it'll be just right for our play. Besides, I think it needs me.
There you go.
We're back.
Stupid Charlie Brown. What kind of a tree is that?
You are supposed to get a good tree. Can't you even tell a good tree from a poor tree?
I told you we'd goof it up. He's not the kind you can depend on to do anything right.
You're hopeless, Charlie Brown. Completely hopeless.
Rats.
Poor Charlie Brown.
I like the soundtrack better than some of the specials.
Yeah. The music is great. It is great. There's no question about it. And it's become, you know, it's become an annual thing to listen to that soundtrack. There's no question about it. 312-981-7200. From 1966, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. This is my personal favorite. This is my absolute favorite Christmas special. And it's the one that I looked forward to the most every year. And I think it's because, well, first of all, Boris Karloff was the voice. And the Grinch was like a monster. And I was into monsters when I was a little kid. And so he was like a monster. So it was like kind of creepy, too. And I liked that. That's from 1966, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. It's still my favorite to this day. In 2000, Ron Howard spent $123 million on a lavish, overstuffed, noisy, live-action, big-screen version of the Dr. Seuss fable about how Christmas isn't about greed and materialism. Sort of missed the point, though. Better to catch this modest, hand-drawn version animated by the great Chuck Jones, the Warner Brothers animator behind some of the most celebrated Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck shorts, and narrated by Boris Karloff, who also does the creepy honors as the title character. It includes ditties like "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch," sung by Thurl Ravenscroft, who happens to be the voice of Tony the Tiger. I didn't know that. I didn't know the guy who sang "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch" was the voice of Tony the Tiger. Now, Dan, do you like the Grinch?
Yeah, it's not my favorite, but, you know, it's definitely got its charm.
Yeah. Susan, do you have a favorite one?
I did like The Grinch and Frosty and Rudolph and all that stuff, but I liked, too, some of the later specials, like TV episodes that you would watch normally, and they're like wacky Christmas
episodes. The Christmas episodes of, yeah, yeah.
Like Christmas Brady Bunch.
Christmas episodes of regular television shows. Yeah. All right, we have some audio from The Grinch.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
Yeah, Tony the Tiger. Yeah, I didn't know that. All these years I've been watching The Grinch, I did not know that that was the voice of Tony the Tiger who sang that song. Pretty cool little piece of trivia right there. All right, phone lines are open. We're reminiscing about the classic, awesome TV Christmas specials, and then I'll jump to the list of 12 of the weirdest holiday specials that have ever been seen. And there's some weird ones on here, and we'll talk about that. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. What were your favorite Christmas specials when you were growing up? Nick DiGilio here. Hi, everybody. We are here till 5 a.m. Our phone number is 312-981-7200, and we're talking about the best and your favorite TV Christmas specials. I've also have a list here from Yahoo.com of the absolute weirdest holiday specials that have ever been made, and we'll check that out. But right now we're doing the big ones. You know, we were just talking about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Charlie Brown Christmas, How the Grinch Stole Christmas was the last one we were talking about. And those are the classic ones, the ones that we all grew up on, and the ones that we look forward to watching every year and still love. So call us up, 312-981-7200. Here's Mark on WGN. Hey, Mark.
Yeah, Earl Ravenscroft has some great pipes, doesn't he? In fact, he's great.
Yeah.
And in the 60s, the boy who voiced over Charlie Brown was on Art Linkletter, and he said he was chosen for his unusually low voice as a kid and the fact that he could sound glum without even trying.
Right.
And then I wanted to observe what a range Burl Ives has in his acting. You probably know that Steve and Johnny would do a little shtick about him every year, because in the shtick, Johnny loves A Holly Jolly Christmas, and Steve can barely stand it. And, are we going to play this? No, we're not going to play it. Well, yes, we are going to play it. And then they would play it, of course. But Burl Ives was in a Night Gallery episode called Another Way Out, in which Burl Ives plays a grandfather who is avenging the death of his granddaughter. And he is really good at playing a cold-blooded killer. I mean, I was emotionally affected by, I was sitting there, gee, do I really know who Burl Ives is? I thought he was this benevolent snowman, and now I'm finding out that he's a cold-blooded murderer.
Well,
and I knew he was acting, of course, but I thought that was great.
He's in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. I mean, that's, uh-huh. You know, and that's like a legendary, and that's not a nice performance. That's not, that's not a nice guy, you know?
Yeah. But that's the Night Gallery episode title, Another Way Out, which really means, it means the grandfather saying to Ross Martin's character, well, you just could have shot yourself, then you wouldn't have to die slowly in this hole that I've created for you in my house.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff. So, Night Gallery, a great show. All right, thanks, Mark. Take care. It's funny, we mentioned Burl Ives because the other morning. Because during hour number one of the Steve Cochran show, Kevin was bumping back with some Christmas stuff, and he bumped back with Holly Jolly Christmas. And I was talking about how my old partner, and Dan, you can attest to this, my old partner, Gary Lee Wright, who I used to work with for many years, back starting in 1998, and I believe going to, I think, 2004, 2005. So 6-7 years I worked with him. Always said that the celebrity that he would get all the time. Oh, you look like this person. You look like this person. Gary Lee Wright would always get Burl Ives.
That is very apropos.
And you can see that, right?
I totally see that.
Yeah, he wasn't happy about it. It's like I get Burl Ives. People say I look like Burl Ives. I say that all the time. Here is Tom on WGN. Hey, Tom.
Good morning, Nicholas.
Hi.
Happy holidays to you all.
Same to you.
Thanks. I had two of them this morning I was thinking of. One was the Hope Christmas specials, you know, where he'd also have the clips from the shows they would do with the USO with the soldiers. Like when they had, like, during the early 70s, during the Vietnam, late 60s, early 70s.
Yep.
And then also the offbeat one I had was the Star Wars Christmas special, because, you know, on Tatooine and all those other planets, you'd see Christmas trees, you know. So, you know.
Yeah, the Star Wars holiday special, by the way, is on this Yahoo TV list, and it's the first one on the list.
Oh, my.
And if you've not seen it, I mean, there are bootleg copies out there. George Lucas, it ran once, and that was it. And Lucas put a kibosh on it.
Oh, that'll be in the that'll be in that Jabba's palace on the lakefront. That'll be one of the exhibits.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they'll have a whole wing dedicated to it. Yeah. All right, Tom. Thanks for the call.
You bet, bud.
All right. Yeah, the Star Wars Christmas special is pretty legendary. I've got a copy. I'm not supposed to say that, but I do have a copy of it. But there's like a bunch of bootleg copies that have gone around. It aired once, and it was on in 1978. Here's a quick description of it, and then we'll get back to some of the classic ones. The Star Wars Holiday Special aired in 1978, following Chewbacca as he tries to get home to his Wookiee planet in time for Life Day. This special is brimming with intergalactic goodies, including Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, all looking like they wish they read their contracts a little bit closer. Chewbacca's never-before-seen family, complete with a son called Lumpy. B. Arthur crooning a tune behind the bar at the Mos Eisley Cantina. Carol Burnett star Harvey Korman playing a robot on the Fritz. And Fisher singing a Life Day ballad to the tune of the Star Wars theme. In short, required viewing for any Star Wars nerds, Christmas completists, or lovers of a good pop culture catastrophe. Catastrophe is the word. And if you have not seen it, you could probably see it online, right, Dan? It's got to be leaked online somewhere, right?
They usually take them down pretty quick, but there's various like best of compilations, which you don't get the full grasp of things, but you can get a taste of what's going on.
Okay. Dennis sent a text in as well, Star Wars Christmas. So, yeah, it's without question the weirdest holiday special that's ever been made and one of the most incredible train wrecks that's ever been broadcast on television. Susan, did you happen to see it?
I have seen bits of it because I remember the Maud, what was her name?
B. Arthur.
B. Arthur. And I remember Harvey Korman, like, you know, everything I've ever seen Harvey Korman in because he's funny. But I don't think I watched it from start to finish.
It's an incredible train wreck. Absolutely. All right, we got a break. We got the news coming up here on 720 WGN and more TV Christmas specials. What are your favorites? Which ones did you grow up watching? What are some of the weirdest ones? 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio here. Hi, everybody. Tuesday morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We would love to hear from you. You can also send your text to that same number, 312-981-7200. Phone lines are pretty full, and we got a ton of texts to get to. We are talking and reminiscing about classic TV Christmas specials. And let me finish off this list of the classic 10, and we'll play a little audio from them, and then we'll get to some of the weirder ones, and we'll get to all your phone calls as well. So far, so good. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer from 1964, Charlie Brown Christmas from 65, How the Grinch Stole Christmas from 66. Next is The Little Drummer Boy from 1968. Greer Garson narrates this Rankin Bass production based on the carol about a poor boy who joins the three wise men in journeying to Jesus' birthplace, only has nothing to offer the newborn savior except his skilled beats. Jose Ferrar shows up to voice a circus ringmaster while the Vienna Boys Choir performs the song. So here's a little...
Oh, Baba, you mustn't die. You mustn't. Who can help me? Yes, the kings. The kings are wise. They will be able to save Baba.
You must let me through!
And when Aaron came to the entrance of the stable, he could hardly believe what he saw. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Oh, Your Majesty! You must...
Oh, the player boy.
My lamb has been injured. You must save him.
He is near death. Oh, lad, there is nothing I can do.
But you are a king!
A mortal king only. But there is a king among kings who would save your little friend.
The babe? But I do not understand.
It is not necessary that you understand. Go to him.
I have no gift to bring.
Go. Look upon the newborn king.
Yeah. I always thought that one was kind of moody. I mean, I liked it, but it was like it was a little darker than the rest of the Rankin Bass ones. And obviously it addressed the Bible story more blatantly than any of the other ones.
I remember just overall feeling sad.
Yeah, it's a very sort of it's kind of a melancholy little Christmas special right there. All right, next, here's one that used to make me cry all the time, Frosty the Snowman. Because he melts, man. That used to traumatize me when I was a kid. This Rankin Bass special involves hand-drawn animation instead of the more elaborate 3D puppetry of the classic specials, but it's no less beloved. This was a career highlight for nightclub comic Jackie Vernon, who is best remembered today for voicing the charismatic snowman who comes to life when a magician's top hat lands on his head. Jimmy Durante, drawn completely with his big schnoz, narrates it and sings the title song. Yeah, this one used to always make me sad because he melts. Do we have a little bit of this?
That hat brought Frosty to life. It must be magic.
Magic? My hat magic?
Just look.
If that hat is magic, I want it back.
But it's not yours anymore. You threw it away.
Don't talk back to your elders, you naughty, naughty little girl. And you stay in there, or there'll be no carrots for Christmas.
But you can't take that hat back. It brought Frosty to life.
You saw it happen.
I saw nothing of the kind. Quiet. I can't lose that hat if it's really got magic now. It'll make me a millionaire magician.
But we saw Frosty come to life, didn't we?
Uh-huh. Oh, we sure did.
You silly children believe everything you see. When you're grown up, you'll realize that snowman can't come to life.
Uh-huh.
We...
Silly, silly, silly.
Oh, Frosty, we don't care what grown-ups say. We know you did come to life.
That's
we
right. He did come to life. And then he melted.
The melting was the worst. And every year, even though you knew the show was coming, it never got better.
No, it just made me so sad. This is maybe, I think this is probably my second favorite after The Grinch. Santa Claus is Coming to Town with Mickey Rooney playing Kris Kringle with the red beard and everything. Rankin Bass origin story that purports to explain the origins of all the traditions surrounding Santa Claus. Fred Astaire as a dancing mailman narrates, featuring one of the most memorable Rankin Bass villains, the toy-hating Burgermeister Meisterburger. One of my favorites. Do we have any from that?
My computer just crashed.
Oh, okay. So. Well, I'll just keep going then. Then we have 'Twas the Night Before Christmas from 1974, another hand-drawn Rankin Bass special. This one brings to vivid life all the events of the beloved Clement Clark Moore poem about a typical visit from Santa. And then this is another great one, The Year Without a Santa Claus from 1974. When Santa, Mickey Rooney again playing him, gets sick, Mrs. Claus, played by Shirley Booth, tries to take center stage, but she's upstaged by two of the most unforgettable Rankin Bass supporting characters, feuding brothers Snow Miser and Heat Miser, each with his own vaudevillian anthem and lair full of mini-me's. I used to love the Heat Miser.
The Heat Miser.
I loved him. I loved his hair.
It was red, and it was like straight up in the air,
straight
right?
Up, yeah, it was straight up in the air. How about this one? Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. Jim Henson and his Muppeteers adapted Russell Hoban's children's book with a twist on O. Henry's The Gift of the Magi into this all-critter sing-along with tunes by Paul Williams. With its use of full sets and tracking cameras, it's the most elaborate Muppet production to date. It was one that anticipated the film puppetry innovations that the Muppets would feature films would have. I don't remember that one very well. And then Jack Frost is the last one on the list. Perhaps the last of the most vivid Rankin and Bass specials. This one features Robert Morse as the title wintertime sprite who yearns to become mortal after he falls in love with a human girl. Featuring Rankin and Bass mainstay Paul Frees as another colorful villain. And Buddy Hackett is the narrator, a chubby-cheeked groundhog who looks like a rodent version of the comic. Well, there you go. Those are it, man. Those are, according to Time Magazine, the 10 greatest Christmas TV specials that we all grew up watching. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Charlie Brown Christmas, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, The Little Drummer Boy, Frosty the Snowman, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, The Year Without a Santa Claus, Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, and Jack Frost. And those are in chronological order. All right, we got some texts here. Let me read a couple of these, and then we'll get to the weird stuff. we already talked about the Star Wars Christmas, and it doesn't get weirder than that. Eric says, the best Christmas special ever is the Muppet Family Christmas. The characters from the Muppets, Sesame Street, Fraggle Rock all visit Fozzie's mom's house. A Year Without a Santa Claus is the best. 219 area code. 815 area code says, It's a Wonderful Life. They watch that every year. You have to. I think it's a law. Here's Chris on WGN. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, Nick. I watch The Grinch and Charlie Brown Christmas every year. I just kind of have to. It's just ingrained into my childhood, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
I'll give you two little bit more obscure ones. The first one you're going to love, The Powerpuff Girls Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
It's phenomenal. Yep. When Princess gets in Santa Claus's face and Santa just goes off on her. oh, my God. I was on the floor laughing my head off. It was so funny.
Yeah. Susan, you don't know this, but I happen to be obsessed with the Powerpuff Girls.
I know you are. I mean, you are.
Susan,
yeah.
Susan doesn't know this. I'm just telling
you. I don't
you.
Know this. This is good news. This yeah. is interesting.
I absolutely adore the Powerpuff Girls. When they were on, I watched them all the time. I've got the whole series on DVD.
You have the whole series. Yeah.
It's classic.
Terrific stuff.
Buttercup is my favorite. She's my
there
favorite
you go.
Powerpuff Girl. Yeah.
The other one is really obscure. It only aired, to my knowledge, once. And if you remember the 80s comic strip Bloom County.
Oh, yeah, sure.
A special called A Wish for Wings That Work. And it aired, this was in 91 or 92, CBS ran it. And I think they only ran it once. And it centered around Opus the Penguin, and he always had the... He always wanted to be able to fly.
Yeah.
And it was Christmas themed around that and Santa giving him a gift. And it was just very sweet and very, very nicely done, but also very, very odd. Nobody knows. I think I may have been one of 10 people in the United States that watched it.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember it at all.
I actually have it on VHS. And it was also a book. A Wish for Wings That Work.
Okay, I'll have to look that one up. Maybe it's online somewhere. All right, Chris, thanks.
It should be, yes. Thanks, Nick.
All right, buddy. Bye. Take care. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. All right, we will check out this weird list, the 12 weirdest holiday specials we've ever seen. We've already talked about the Star Wars holiday special, and there's a lot more here that are hilarious. And you can check us out. 312-981-7200. Yeah, man. Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate studios on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5, and then we'll hang for the first hour of the Steve Cochran Show. We're talking about your favorite TV specials, Christmas-related. And I've got a list now. We went through the classics, you know, the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Grinch, or Santa Claus is Coming to Town, Frosty, all that stuff. And now... We're going to do the weird stuff, but let's go to the phones real quick here. is Tom. Hey, Tom.
Oh, hi. One of the weirdest ones that never made sense to me was the King family. And I don't know what they were famous for, except being this gigantic family. They had musical talent. But it seems sort of like an alternative family-based Lawrence Welk thing. And they'd have these huge shots of all these people together. And there must have been 75 or 100 of them.
Wow.
And I don't think it was just Christmas. And I don't know what they qualified for, except somehow being a giant family with what somebody saw as enough musical talent to put on multiple specials. But they did one around Christmas and probably some other holidays, too. And it just, I remember I was about, you know, 9 or 10 in the late 60s at that point, and thinking, like, these people must be stopped. There's too many of them.
Yeah.
What's going on here? This is too weird.
I have a vague memory of that. You know, now that you describe it, I do kind of remember it.
It looked like a giant family reunion occurring for the purposes of the, but I'm sure they were all, you know, a local area.
Yeah.
But it was this family that just had multiple children.
The King family.
One thing you played earlier, which was Frosty the Snowman, the voice of the man who was telling the child that snowmen do not become animate,
right,
or whatever. The way he was, his delivery, I realized I know this man. They were two very clever producers that put out a record in the mid-60s called The Glups Go to San Francisco.
Okay.
And it was it was intended for children. It was like a board game. But there was a lot of wry insight into the things that the parents said that would be jokes that would go right over the children's head. And it was a very strange thing. But if you can play that back later and listen to the delivery of the guy who's explaining to the children, and the whole record is like that. And there were these two very clever producers and creators of material. And it was called The Glups Go to San Francisco. It's an LP with a board game. And I was just shocked to hear that voice because I'd forgotten, not completely about it, but as soon as I heard it, you know, oh, it's that guy for sure.
Right. All
it's
right.
Like hearing the guy from Radio Ranch, you know. You hear his voice and, it's him.
Yep, you know it. Okay. All right, Tom, thanks.
Thanks. Good night.
All right, good night. All right, let me check out some of the weirder holiday specials. After the Star Wars holiday special comes Mr. T and Emmanuel Lewis in A Christmas Dream from 1984. This only in the 80s special brings together the dynamic duo from the decade, Webster star Emmanuel Lewis, who plays a kid severely lacking in holiday cheer, and Mr. T, who plays a sidewalk Santa who pities the fool that doesn't love Christmas. Here, we're given the gift of magician David Copperfield performing tricks inside F.A.O. Schwartz. Lewis squeaking his way through Santa Claus is coming to town. And Mr. T delivering his Linus-esque monologue on the birth of Christ.
Oh. I saw that.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's funny.
I bet. See, we have to find some of these things. This is crazy. Mr. T and Emmanuel Lewis. Okay. How about this? Nick and Jessica's Family Christmas from 2004. Boy, remember when they were big? Travel back with us to the early 2000s, to the days when Nick Lachey and Jessica Simpson were still MTV newlyweds, when Ashley Simpson was still a popular recording artist, and when people thought Jessica might be able to act. The painful, painful skits in this tinsel-covered train wreck prove that Nick and Jessica were much more entertaining without a script, but you can still get a Christmas chuckle or two from hearing Jessica's ridiculously breathy take on holiday classics like I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus and, hey, look, 98 Degrees reunites. What was their popularity? What was their 15 minutes? Like from like 2002 to like 2006 maybe? Was that their, does that
yeah,
sound about right?
Backstreet Boy and NSYNC albums, they usually at least won and had a hit.
And that was popular right around the same time when Punk'd was really big. Remember in the early 2000s Punk'd was huge. And I'm guilty. I watched Punk'd all the time. I thought Punk'd was hilarious. But the best Punk'd ever is Zach Braff. Do you remember that one, Dan?
I do, yeah.
Where they have a kid spray paint what was supposed to be his Porsche. That's the best Punk'd ever. Because he goes nuts. Zach Braff goes nuts. All right, everybody hang on. We are talking Christmas TV specials. We've got the greatest ones here. What are your favorites? What are the weirdest ones? 312-981-7200. You both talk and text. And we'll talk about this a little bit more. We're going to be doing, you know, like one or two Christmas topics a morning leading up to Friday with Fly Jams Friday, the Christmas edition. That'll be it for a while because I'm on vacation for a couple of weeks. I won't be back, so I won't be on for the Christmas week. So we're going to be doing some Christmas stuff just a week early. All right. So call us up 312-981-7200, and you can send your text there too. We'll get back to the phones and talk Christmas specials right here on 720 WGN. Yeah. Nick DiGilio here. Hi, everybody. Good morning. Happy Tuesday. And we're here till 5. By the way, our annual visit from Rick Geezer will be happening Thursday morning. Right out of the gate after 2. No, it's not Thursday morning? Oh, it's happening at 3:05. Oh, okay. So at 3:05 Thursday morning, Rick Geezer is going to join us, and we are going to have our annual visit. He does a thing called Sports Songs, where he has this very unique collection of songs that are performed by sports athletes and managers, either at the college or the pro level. And he's got a very specific collection, and we always do the holiday version of Sports Songs every year. And we listen to the greatest song ever, Honky the Christmas Goose, which I believe might be the best Christmas song ever, recorded by pro hockey NHL goalie Johnny Bauer. And it's the best song. It's the best. So we will play Honky the Christmas Goose. It's a holiday tradition. So that'll be Thursday morning at 3:05. So make sure you stay tuned for that. All right. Let's get back to the phones. The phone lines are open. We're talking about your favorite TV Christmas specials. And I've got a list here of the weirdest ones. And maybe you have memories of some strange ones as well. So give us a call at 312-981-7200. And let's see. Here is Brandon on WGN. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, I sent in a text about the Bob and Doug McKenzie 12 Days of Christmas. That's a great Christmas song.
Yes, it is.
And also, Buttercup. You're a very brave man for admitting that on the air.
I've admitted it many, many times. I've been a Powerpuff Girl fan since like 1999. I'm not kidding.
All right. Well, come on. Saturday Night Live Christmas.
Yep. They just did their Christmas special a couple of weeks ago. It was on.
They did. I've got three written down here while I was on hold. So I wrote down my three favorites: Tarzan, Tonto, and Frankenstein.
Yep.
And then more recently, Drunk Uncle is one of my favorites.
Drunk Uncle is one of the best characters on SNL right now, and Bobby Moynihan is hilarious.
I totally agree. Yeah. And then I think this was on the most recent one. It was Santa's My Boyfriend, and they're all like jealous about it.
Yeah, it's Maya Rudolph, Kristen Wiig, Amy Poehler, and I think that's it. No, Tina Fey. So that they all sing Santa's My Boyfriend.
It's so great, and they're like, no, Santa's not your boyfriend. He's my boyfriend.
Yeah. It's funny stuff. They opened the show with that. I remember that specific episode, the Christmas episode of that year. They opened the show with that musical number. It was great, great stuff. All right, Brandon, thanks for the call, man.
Have a great Christmas vacation, Nick.
All right, buddy, take care. 312-981-7200. Okay, I have a favorite SNL Christmas sketch. And it needs to be set up a little bit because some people might not get it. Have you seen, Susan, have you seen the movie Glengarry Glen Ross?
Yes, with,
Everybody's in it. Jack Lemmon, Al Pacino, Alec Baldwin, Kevin Spacey.
Yes.
Ed Harris, Alan Arkin.
Glenn Close, maybe, too?
No, it's all guys.
Oh, it's all dudes. Okay.
Yeah. It's based on David Mamet's play, which is my favorite play of all time, Glengarry Glen Ross. And it's based on David Mamet's play, and it's about these real estate guys, these guys who try to swindle people. And they all work in an office, and their sales are not well. They're having a sales contest, and the sales aren't good. They're not doing very well with the sales. So at the beginning of the movie, after they set the whole thing up, that, you know, the sales are down, they're not doing well, they send in a hotshot from the home office, played by Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin has one scene in Glengarry Glen Ross. It's just one scene. And he rips these guys a new one. And it has become a legendary sequence that many guys have memorized. And it's, you know, it's considered one of the best scenes that Alec Baldwin has ever done. So a few years back, I want to say it was like 2007 maybe, they did a Christmas version of this with Alec Baldwin, because Alec Baldwin obviously has hosted SNL many, many, many times, and he's one of the best hosts ever. But this particular night, they did this sketch, and this takes place at the beginning. You'll see there, you can't see it, obviously, but we're going to play the audio. This takes place at Santa's workshop, and they set it up at the beginning. It says North Pole Santa's workshop. And there's elves in the workshop, and that's the setup. So if you've seen Glengarry Glen Ross, you're going to get a kick out of this. If you haven't, you're probably going to be like, "What's going on?" But here we go. Is the computer?
You know, I know what you're talking about, and he's in the woodworking shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Hopefully, we can get that.
Yeah, I hope so. Is it the Commodore 64 is all messed up this morning?
Yeah.
All right.
But I know exactly what you mean. That was a great setup. And the workshop, I've watched that over and over. I wasn't putting that together with Glengarry Glen Ross.
Yeah, it's a direct knockoff of Glengarry Glen Ross. Here we go.
So what's this meeting about?
I don't know. It better be about our tools. My hammer is falling apart in my hands.
Elves can't build with tools like this.
I'll never be done with my toys by Christmas.
Everyone settle down. This is Winter's Breath. He's an elf from the home office.
Can I have your attention for a moment? Because you're talking about what? You're talking about the hammer? Bitching about the quality of your wood? Some pixie you're trying to screw? Let's talk about something important. Put that cocoa down. Cocoa is for cobblers only. You think I'm screwing around? I am not screwing around. I am here from Kris Kringle. I'm here from the North Pole, and I am on a mission of mercy. Your name is Honeydew?
Yeah.
And you call yourself an elf, you son of a bitch?
Hey, I don't have to listen to this.
You certainly don't, pal, because the good news is you're fired. The bad news is you've got 1 week to regain your jobs, starting with tonight's build. Oh, have I got your attention now? Good. Because we're adding a little something to this month's toy contest. As you know, first prize is a shiny new toboggan. Anybody want to see second prize? Second prize is a box of candy canes. Third prize is you're fired. Everybody get the picture? You laughing now? Huh? You got tools. Santa paid good money for those tools. You can't build with the tools you have. You can't build garbage. You are garbage. Hit the bricks, pal, and beat it, because you are going out.
Hey, our tools are weak.
Your tools are weak. The effing tools are weak. You're weak. I've been in this business for 615 years.
Hey, what's your name?
Screw you. That's my name. And you want to know why, mister? Because you rode a hedgehog to work, and I got here on a talking moose. That's my name. Remember, boys and girls, always, A, always, B, B, C, closing. Always be always be cobbling, always be cobbling.
Woo!
What's the problem, pal?
Well, I mean, you're such a hero. You're so rich. Why are you coming down here and wasting your time with a bunch of bums?
You see this gumdrop? You see this gumdrop? This gumdrop costs more than the mushroom you call a house. You see, pal, that's who I am, and you're nothing. Nice guy, I don't care. Good father, elf you. Go home and play with your kids. You want to work here? Cobble. I can sit here tonight with the tools you got, make myself 15 train sets tonight in 2 hours. Can you? Can you?
No.
Get mad, you sons of bitches, get mad. You know what it takes to be one of Santa's elves? It takes brass balls to be an elf. The tools are out there. Build with the tools, you know? I got no sympathy for you. And you know what you'll be saying? Bunch of losers sitting around the reindeer shed drinking fermented dew out of acorn caps. Oh, yeah. I used to be one of Santa's elves. It's a tough racket. These are the new tools. Ooh. These are the new Glengarry line of power tools. And to you, they're gold. And you don't get them. Why? Because to give them to you is just throwing them away. They're for cobblers. I wish you good luck, but you wouldn't know what to do with it if you got it. And to answer your question, pal, I'm here because Santa asked me to be here as a favor. I said, the real favor, follow my advice and fire your elfin ass because a loser is a loser. Oh, and one more thing. You all get holiday bonuses. It's still Christmas.
Yay! There you go. by the way, he pulled out the chalkboard because in the movie, he flips the chalkboard and it says A equals always, B equals closing, and I'm sorry, B equals B, B-E. And C equals closing. And when he flipped the, when he did in this sketch, when he flipped the thing over, it said A, always, B, B, C, cobbling. And, but he was so, you know, he's done that, he's probably done that monologue like 8,000 times, and it's so iconic that he actually screwed up and said closing the first couple times. Dan, you were watching it. You see, because Baldwin loses it.
Yeah, he starts smiling.
And like he's looking at Seth Meyers, and Seth Meyers has to say the next line.
That's why there was that like hesitation, that big long pause there.
It was hilarious. I think that's my favorite Christmas sketch that they've ever done on SNL, because it's from one of my favorite movies of all time. So, and I thought Alec Baldwin was a real good sport about doing it. So, all right, we got more Christmas specials to talk about here. 312-981-7200. We'll get into the really weird ones, and if you want to join us, call us up right now. Hi. Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5, and then after 5, we'll hang out for hour number 1 of the Steve Cochran Show. By the way, the Chicago Film Critic Association, of which I am a member, announced their winners for the best films and performances of 2014 at their dinner last night. And I've got the list, and I will tell you what were the winners, what were the big winners for the Chicago Film Critic Association. That's coming up. But we're still talking about TV specials, Christmas TV specials, weird ones and good ones and all kinds of cool stuff. So 312-981-7200. Here's Pappy on WGN. Hi, Pappy.
Hey, Nick.
Hey.
I wanted to mention Susie Snowflake.
Yeah, yeah, Susie Snowflake. They used to show that in Hard Rock, Coco and Joe on Garfield Goose.
Yeah, but Susie terrifies me.
Yeah, you know, it's a little scary.
Yeah, you know, like weird white thing flittering around. What the hell is that thing? Is it, you know, is it an angel, a demon, an alien hybrid?
Yeah.
I want nothing to do with it, man. Yeah. It still freaks me out.
Yeah, I understand. I can totally understand that. And it's that it was that weird sort of black and white animation.
And the soundtrack, too.
Yeah, and the Hard Rock and Coco and Joe was the same thing. They were animated, I think, by the same people. They were played on Channel 9 all the time.
All the time. Yeah. I watched it for years, and I think it scarred me for life.
I think so. I think you're right. All right, Pappy, thanks for the call.
All right, see you, man.
Take care. Susie Snowflake. Anybody remember Susie Snowflake and Hard Rock, Coco and Joe?
I remember Susie's. I remember the song.
Yeah?
Susie Snowflake.
It was these two short black and white weird sort of stop motion animated cartoons that were Hard Rock, Coco and Joe and Susie Snowflake, and they both had very strange looking characters. And I can understand why Pappy was a little freaked out. Let's see. Brent sends a sketch that says, I watch a Charlie Brown Christmas every year. Yeah, I think that's one of the ones, that, a traditional one that everybody pretty much watches. SETV did a skit with Ed Grimley, played by Martin Short, as the boy who couldn't wait for Christmas. That, by the way, is hilarious. It's Martin Short doing Ed Grimley, which is a really funny character anyway. And he can't sleep. He's jumping up and down. And at one point, he opens up the bedroom door, and all you hear outside the bedroom door is, "Go to bed!" That's like he opens the door like an inch. "Go to bed!" And he slams the door. Nick, how about Roseanne's Christmas specials? Says Sally. You mean from the? She's talking about the TV show, right? The series, because I don't think Roseanne didn't do like variety shows.
I don't think she did.
No. 847 area code said, I like the year without a Santa Claus with Heat Miser and Snow Miser. They rock. Nick from Aurora, one of my favorites is A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens in the 1970 musical Scrooge starring Albert Finney. The music was great. Liza says, how about the Dick Van Dyke Show Christmas special? And then finally, Donald says, do you remember JT, a TV movie from 1969? The IMDb description says, JT Gamble, a shy, withdrawn Harlem youngster, shows compassion and responsibility when he takes on the care of an old, one-eyed, badly injured alley cat just days before Christmas and secretly nurses it back to health. Wow. I've got to say, I don't know that one. Do not know that one. All right, let's see. Where are we going here? We're going to Dixie on WGN. Hi, Dixie.
Hi.
Hi.
I was the John Denver Muppet Show. It was on several years ago, and he's singing with Miss Piggy, and they're singing We Wish You a Merry Christmas, where they get to the part where they're saying, bring us some figgy pudding, and she thinks they say, bring us some piggy pudding, and she goes ballistic all over the stage.
That's funny. Yeah. The Muppets Christmas special was considered a classic. I remember watching that one, too.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yep. Okay, Dixie.
I watch your show all the time.
Thank you.
You listen to it, yeah.
Thank you, Dixie.
Right, have a good day. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. How about this one on the weird list? Nestor the Long-Eared Christmas Donkey. I remember this. I remember Nestor the Long-Eared Christmas Donkey. They say, we can all agree that stop-motion animators Rankin Bass really hit it out of the park with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Alas, Nestor the Long-Eared Christmas Donkey didn't have quite the same ring to it. This Rudolph rewrite with a religious twist tells the tale of Nestor, who is shunned for his outsized ears and has to watch his poor mom freeze to death before he guides Mary and Joseph to the stable in Bethlehem where Jesus was born. Okay, the next one is, as far as I'm concerned, classic, awesome, and has been mentioned in several texts this morning. Pee-wee's Playhouse Christmas Special. It says, granted, Pee-wee's Playhouse was pretty weird every week anyway, but this late 80s stab at holiday extravaganza is even more bizarre than usual, with Playhouse favorites like Cowboy Curtis and Cherry sharing the screen with a cavalcade of mismatched celebrities. It includes Charo singing Feliz Navidad, Cher screaming along with every word, and Oprah Winfrey calling in to wish Pee-wee a Merry Christmas. I remember that. Here's Alexander on WGN. Hi, Alexander.
Hi there.
Hi.
I got two Christmas specials for you.
All right.
All right. The first one is the Garfield Christmas special.
The Garfield Christmas special. I don't think I saw the Garfield Christmas special.
Oh, it's really excellent. It starts off with Garfield having a dream that his Christmas present was a whole line of lasagna leading up to a machine that gives you anything you want. Which leads into a good song about Garfield singing about Gimme, Gimme All the Presents.
Okay.
And the second one, I know the kindly before me mentioned the Muppet Christmas special on the Muppet Show,
But I have a different Muppet Christmas special, the Muppet Family Christmas.
The Muppet Family Christmas.
Have you ever seen that?
No.
Okay, it's kind of... interesting. All the Muppets arrive at Fozzie Bear's grandmother's house.
Oh, right. You know what? We talked about that one already.
Oh, I must have tuned in after you talked about it.
We talked about that one. Everybody goes to Fozzie's mom's house. That's right. I never saw it. But
I love how Swedish Chef is trying to murder Big Bird and serve him for Christmas dinner.
Oh, boy. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got to have to watch that one. All right, Alexander, I got to run. Thanks.
All right. Yeah, good too.
Take care. 312-981-7200. We'll do a few more of these Christmas specials if you want to jump in on WGN. Yeah. Nick DiGilio here. Hi, everybody. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. And we're talking about TV specials, Christmas specials. And... Babes in Toyland from 1976. It was one of the weirdest. This is definitely one of the weirdest things you'll ever see. It aired once in December of 1986. It's Drew Barrymore is 11. Keanu Reeves is in it. Creepy Pat Morita. Richard Mulligan plays from Empty Nest plays the villainous Barnaby, who lives in a bowling ball. It has never been released on DVD. 1987, a claymation Christmas special, which somebody, texted in. Yeah, 224 area code says, a claymation Christmas. I love the part when they sing, Here We Come A-Waffling. and then this one we have to play a piece of here. Bing Crosby's Merry Old Christmas from 1977. This special makes the list for one reason, David Bowie. The gender-bending glam rocker seems like an odd choice to join Bing for his annual Christmas special. Bowie thought so, too. He refused to sing Little Drummer Boy with Bing until the producers added a Peace on Earth counterpoint. And an unlikely Christmas classic was born. This truly is completely bizarre. And I love it. I absolutely love it. Can we hear that?
Hello. You the new butler?
Well, it's been a long time since I've been the new anything.
What's happened to Hudson?
I guess he's changing.
Yeah, he does that a lot, doesn't he? I'm David Bowie. I live down the road.
Oh.
Sir Percival lets me use his piano when he's not around. He's not around, is he?
I can honestly say I haven't seen him, but come on in. Come on in.
Are you related to Sir Percival?
Well, distantly, yeah.
Oh, you're not the, poor relation from America, right?
Gee, news sure travels fast, doesn't it? I'm Bing.
Oh, I'm pleased to meet you. You're the one that sings, right?
Well, right or wrong, I sing either way.
Oh, well, I sing too.
Oh, good. What kind of singing?
Well, mostly the contemporary stuff. Do you like modern music?
Oh, I think it's marvelous. Some of it really fine. But tell me, you ever listen to any of the older fellas?
Oh, yeah, sure. I like John Lennon. And the other one with Harry Nilsson.
Ooh, you go back that far, huh?
Oh, yeah, I'm not as young as I look.
None of us is these days.
In fact, I've got a six-year-old son. And he really gets excited around the Christmas holiday thing.
Do you go in for any of the traditional things in the boy household Christmas time?
Oh, yeah, most of them, really. Presents, tree, decorations. Agent sliding down the chimney.
What?
I was just seeing if you're paying attention. Actually, our family do most of the things that other families do. We sing the same songs.
Do you?
I even have a go at White Christmas.
You too, huh?
And this one. This is my son's favorite. Do you know this one?
Oh, I do indeed. It's a lovely thing.
To see ba-rum-pa-bum-bum. Our finest gifts we bring ba-rum-pa-bum-bum, rum-pa-bum-bum, rum-pa-bum-bum.
Peace on earth, can it be? years from now, perhaps.
There you go. That's just so strange. And the you know, like Bing Crosby's like, who the hell is this guy? And David Bowie's like, why am I here? And that little, the little byplay that they do at the beginning is so weird. But for some, I don't know how it works. It has no business working. A 1977 era David Bowie on with Bing Crosby on one of his specials, and somehow it works in a very bizarre way. Let's see. Bill sends in a text. Not a Christmas special, but I always look forward to Darlene Love's visit on David Letterman. It's going to be her last one this year. And it's all, I love it too. I absolutely love it. And it's also, that's also, by the way, when Jay Thomas comes on. Dan, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
Jay Thomas comes on, tells the Lone Ranger story. Every year he tells the Lone Ranger story, which is one of the funniest stories ever. And then he and Dave throw footballs at the meatball that's on top of the Christmas tree. And they try to knock the meatball off the top of the Christmas tree. And then Darlene Love comes out and performs. It's kind of a bizarre Christmas tradition, but it's a great one, and I look forward to it every year. Mike says the Carol Burnett Christmas special with Alan Alda. How about Rich Little's A Christmas Carol? What? Rich Little did A Christmas Carol. Okay. Chuck says Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol. Oh, yeah, they did have a Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol. That's right. And then a Fat Albert Christmas. All right, let's talk to Scott on WGN. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Nick, I got one for you, and I got another one for you, too. It's called The Talking Living Christmas Tree. I remember when I was a little kid.
Uh-huh.
It was weird. It was like back in the 60s.
Yeah, they you know, the children's programming in the 60s and the early 70s was just very weird.
Yeah, well, you believed all that stuff.
Yeah, well, not only that, the people that were creating it were blowing weed. They were all high.
Well, this one really get you here. Up in Aurora, North Aurora, and this was back in the 60s, too, they had a gal, it was the Ice Princess, and she was frozen in a block of ice. It was a real girl. And I can remember my dad and me and my brothers, and we would go and look in this trailer at this gal in the ice, and you could see her sleeping in there, and she was going to break out of this ice at noon.
What?
And we never thought that this is what it was. It was a gimmick for some store or something up in North Aurora. And you look at it, and you could actually see a princess down in the ice.
That's weird.
I know, but you believe all this stuff, you know, back when you were a kid. And she was going to break out of this thing at noon or something, and that was the whole thing.
Weird. That's just weird. Yeah. I've never heard of that before.
Maybe somebody else reminds it. You know, maybe somebody out there knows about this.
Yeah.
It was, you know, in the 60s, they came up with some pretty bizarre stuff.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. All right, Scott. Okay. Thanks for the call.
Yep.
God. You know, because when you grow up, you know, like in the era that I grew up, and maybe people that are a little bit older than I am, when you've got, you know, H.R. Puff and stuff as your Saturday morning entertainment, Sid and Marty Krofft, those guys, man, I mean, the stuff that they created, you know that the drugs were good that these guys had. All right, here is RJ on WGN. Hi, RJ.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey, when you think about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, when they go to the Island of Misfit Toys,
right?
It actually should be the Island of Misfit Chicago Bears, okay? Mark Trestman, he's the choo-choo with the square wheels. He really can't get anything going,
mm-hmm.
Okay? You got Cutler. He's the gun that shoots a grape jelly or strawberry jelly, whatever the flavor was. He can't get nothing going. And, you know, you got Forte. He's the cowboy riding the ostrich. Can't get anything going either.
All right, there you go. A little commentary about the Bears. I didn't watch 1 millisecond of the game last night.
Well, neither did I. I'm a Packer fan. Why would I?
I watched pro wrestling. I opted for WWE Raw.
Good call.
Yeah. All right, RJ, take care.
Thank you.
All right. Number 9 on the weird list is The Munsters' Scary Little Christmas from 1996. I don't remember this. I would have loved to have watched it. Yes, Virginia, the Munsters did celebrate Christmas, but not as the Munsters that you remember, featuring none of the original cast members. The 1996 version, this came out in 1996, starred Tracy Ullman, veteran Sam McMurray as Fred Munster, and Seinfeld's Sandy Baron, who played Jack Klumpus, the guy with the astronaut pen. He played Grandpa. Here, the Munster family bands together to help a homesick Eddie have a Christmas he'll never forget. Somehow this results in Grandpa turning Santa into a fruitcake. that one might be worth checking out. I wonder if that one's available on the DVD, because I'd like to see that. And then number 10 on the list is The Life and Adventures of Santa Claus from 1985, another late-stage oddity from the Rankin-Bass team. This St. Nick origin story draws its inspiration from the 1902 book by Wizard of Oz author L. Frank Baum. In this trippy Tolkien-esque universe, Santa is raised by lions in a lush forest utopia surrounded by wood nymphs, gnomes, wind demons, and water spirits. What? There's a lot of them on that list that are worth checking out. All right.